श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम, 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 जय जय राम जय जय राम, सियावर रामचंद्र की जय। ओम श्री गणेशाय नमः, ओम श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः, ओम श्री गुरुदेवाय नमः। धन्याष्टकम्। This is a very small text written by Sri Shankaracharya. Ashtak, Ashtakam means eight verses on that person who is dhanya. Dhanya means one who is blessed. In some places they say blessed. He who is blessed. And when we hear this word, the word itself has so many different connotations. Huh? Like some people in materialistic societies, they feel that I am blessed when I get my PhD. After I have finished my PhD, I am so blessed because I had the opportunity to finish my PhD. Or in America, when the person fulfills the American dream, then he feels that he is blessed. I'm so blessed. And people use that term so often in such varied ways. Huh? So if a person gets a fitting or appropriate spouse, they say, I am blessed. I'm blessed to have this spouse. Or I'm blessed to have this house. Or whatever. And societies pick up most wonderful practices. So when we get a new house, we bless the house also. Housewarming. But here, this dhanya word doesn't merely mean these types of blessings. It means that person who has come to realize his own self, that person is blessed. The other types of blessings may be such that they may prevent us from realizing ourselves. They may. And if it's possible, when I am so taken up by my PhD or by my acquisition or by my prosperity, when I'm taken up by that thing, that may even prevent me from realizing myself. I have to make sure that it doesn't. Not that we should not get the PhD or not get the house. And we're not talking like that. We are saying we get them, but make sure that they do not prevent us from realizing ourself. That is all. Otherwise, many people go on telling, you know, in Hinduism, they preach, we should renounce everything. We preach that we should renounce everything mentally. I have the house, I have the car, the money, the acquisition, whatever, achievement, but don't let the achievements have me. Otherwise, whatever we consider in the material world to be a blessing turns out to be a curse. Because it prevents me from realizing my own self. It imprisons me, ensnares me. So, the dhanya word which is used here means one who has realized himself, one who has realized his own essential reality. He is blessed. That person is blessed. That is the meaning of the terminology as it is used here. Huh? Now, 8 verses on this blessed person. Now, first, the person who is blessed is described. Then it is told also in these verses how he becomes blessed. Means how does he realize himself? And then as he's trying to realize himself, what types of obstacles he'll face. See, I'll tell you one more thing. You know, our scriptures, they are best compared to an Indian sweet shop. When you go in that sweet shop, there are so many varieties of sweets. Even today, I don't know all the names. I don't think anybody can ever know all the names, because as soon as you learn all the names, they invent 2 more. But anyway, it is like an Indian sweet shop. In that shop, one thing you are sure, everything is made from sugar. Though this one will be brown, that one will be white, that will be yellow, green, every color will be there. Then taste also will be different. Names will be different. Price will be different. But all of them are made from that same sweet. This is exactly what these scriptures are, you know. Like here, you have to be telling at places what obstacles that sadhak will face. Now, in Ramayana, that will come just now again. Hanumanji will face these obstacles on that path. But there it is in the form of a story, and you know, the circumstances a little bit different and all that kind of thing. But it is the same sadhak on the same path facing different obstacles in different ways. Right? And the goal is same. So all the scriptures have same goal. They will deal with some obstacles in this scripture, some obstacles in that scripture. But listen, the response that is required from the sadhak always will be same. Well, you have to be diligent. We have to be vigilant. We have to be regular. We have to be disciplined. You see, all of these things, they're intense. You cannot just go on. You know, intense means so attentive and so with it. You cannot just take the mala and you're going to ram, 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 ram. Then you also take the laddu and ram, 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 ram. Intensity is not there. We have to be with that activity, you see. So the response from the sadhak always has to be same. So the sadhanas and all such things, they have to be characterized by these great qualities that is required. And it will be demonstrated nicely there by Hanumanji. So here also we'll encounter all of these. Huh? So now see, there are many tunes which are used to sing this Dhanyashtakam. Some simple tune we'll use only. Try to follow the words. It is verse number 1. Tajnyanam prashamakaram yadindriyanam. Tajnyeyam yadupanishat sunishchitartham. Te dhanya bhuvi paramartha nishchite haha. Sheshastu brahmanilaye paribrahmantaha. How wonderful it is. Each word, if you study, our rishis describe nature and reality and God and describe sadhana, describe self and all these things so nicely. Sometimes, not sometimes, every time I read these scriptures, I feel that we should not move from this verse. They are so wonderful. Tajjnanam prashamakaram yadindriyana. That is knowledge. He's telling. That is knowledge which brings or which makes all the sense organs quiet. Now that can be seen from two ways. See, what is it? When a person acquires knowledge, all the sense organs become quiet, silent. And from the other way now, only that thing which makes all the sense organs quiet, it deserves to be called knowledge. From that point of view also. Tajjnanam, the way he expresses it. Now, next line. Tajjnyeyam yat upanishatsu nishchitartham. That ought to be known. That thing should be known. What thing? That thing which is firmly established by the Upanishads. Whatever the Upanishads have firmly established, that should be known. Then, te dhanya bhuvi. Those people are blessed on this earth. Bhuvi means on this earth. Those people on this earth, they are blessed. Who? Paramartha nishchite nishchita iha. Those people who have ascertained the nature of that reality. Those people who have ascertained the nature of the reality and they who have internalized that nature, or that reality. Those people on this earth, they are called as blessed. So you can see in the beginning itself, the scripture is talking about the self-realized person. He is blessed, not person who acquires any worldly thing, you see. Sheshahattu brahmanilaye paribrahmanta. Everybody else, they are just wandering in this world in delusion. Any other thing which we consider to be a blessing, that is just delusion, running in this world after so many delusions. You know, it is like Ravana. But Ravana, if you see his life, there was nothing which was lacking in his life. See, in terms of knowledge and education, there was nobody in Ravana's time who could match his knowledge and education. It is said that Brahmaji, the creator of the universe, when he had some doubt, he used to consult Ravana. So knowledgeable Ravana was. Then, in terms of material possessions, the sidewalk in Lankapuri was lined with gold. How much material possession? In terms of power, he had sway over all of the world. Even the Mother Earth could not tackle Ravana. You see? Power over the entire earth. There was nothing which he was lacking. But still, this Ravana did not have this most essential thing called as realization, called as self. So, when Sri Ram encountered, came to Lanka and that battle started, they woke up this Kumbhakaran. And Kumbhakaran had an encounter with Vibhishana. In Ramayana, he tells Vibhishana, "My dear Vibhishana, you are blessed. Dhanya, dhanya," he could tell him, "you are. Because you have some closeness to Sri Ram. And in spite of Ravan having all of these things, he himself cannot be called as blessed. He was there without the most essential thing, and therefore running around in the world totally deluded. So all worldly things is only the source of delusion. So that's why I said we have to make sure that we do not get caught by the worldly thing. We have them there, but make sure, you know, in India, have you seen people peeling jackfruit? When you peel a jackfruit, there's that milky substance that comes and sticks onto you. So what they do, they put some oil on their hands first before peeling jackfruit. That oil makes sure that that thing doesn't get stuck to their hands. So in the very same way, we should have the oil of detachment, of vairagya, with regard to all the things which we have. Whatever possessions, the oil of vairagya should always be there so that none of these things in the world get stuck to the personality. Otherwise, paribhramantaha, we roam the world in delusion. So now, we go over all the words again. Te jnanam, atach jnanam, prashamakaram yadindriyanam. That is knowledge which makes all the sense organs quiet. Now, what is being spoken about there? See, our sense organs, as they are, by nature, the eyes want to go out and look at all nice things outside. The ears want to hear all nice, you know, sounds and songs and all such things from outside. Waka waka, hey, hey. Yes, oh. So it likes to hear those nice things. Then, so all other, and you know, out of all these five jnana indriyas and five karma indriyas, these 10 sense organs, which is the one that you should control the most, which is the most powerful of them? If you control Ravana, you take over whole of Lanka. So among these 10, there is one. If we can master that one, we have really conquered our senses. That is called a tongue. Because on this one organ, there are 3 senses. Tongue, taste. Tongue can also touch. And tongue has a karma indriya, which is speech. On one of them, there are 3. See, on all the others, there is only one. Your skin cannot taste. Your eyes cannot hear. But this tongue, this fellow, he is the most powerful. So if we can control that one, you know, one more thing about this tongue. Because he has the power of 3 horsepower. 3 horsepower, yeah. You see, as we get older, our teeth drop out. Our ears, we cannot hear properly. Huh? One man was telling, 3 men they met in the park. So one was telling, "It is windy today." The second one said, "No, it is Thursday today." That third one said, Yeah, I am also thirsty. Let's go have something to drink." So as we grow older, on the ears, see, then eyes also, we have to wear glasses. All of them, they wane. But this tongue, he never drops. Have you seen a tongue drop out? Nothing happens to this fellow. Really, at whatever age, he wants to taste nice things, isn't it? He's so strong. Persists till the end, and he does, even in sleep he doesn't stop, goes on talking. So, out of five sense organs, if you can control this one, we have really mastered this sense. Now, one more thing. As a sadhak, we start by controlling mastery and all that sort of thing, right? But you know, one more thing. The sense organs, they will never become absolutely silent. As a sadhak, we have to try to control them. We will be able to do that to a certain degree. Relatively, we'll be able to control them. They really become controlled and mastered only upon realization of self. That time, they become absolutely under our control. Now, what the line is saying? That is knowledge which makes them absolutely silent. So, when we have acquired knowledge of the self, they become absolutely silent. And how that happens is, upon realization of the self, one comes to understand, oh, I am running after this thing, I am running after that thing, my sense organs are going out and looking for all of these things. Sense organs means through the mind, going out and looking for all of these things. But upon realization, I come to know that I am all of these things. See, you don't get up in the morning searching for your toe. No. I'm talking about most people. In the morning, we don't get up searching for my toe or my head. I know that I am my toe. It is there. I am my head. It is there. So upon realization, I come to know that I am this universe. I am everything. I am part of and parcel of everything around me. So I don't go running after this thing or running after that thing. So the senses have no need to go out and run after anything. But to get to that point, I have to bring a relative degree of control and mastery over them. And after they have become relatively quiet, then I can meditate and reach that highest stage where I come to realize, oh, there's no need for me to run after anything. Because I am everything. I don't run after my own toes or fingers or anything. Just like how I don't run after my toes or fingers, because I identify with them. So I come to identify with all things in the world upon realization. And then there's no running. There's just only basking and enjoying. Yogaratova bhogaratova sangaratova sangavihina. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam. Nandati. That person whose mind is reveling in Brahman, he revels and revels and revels in every, whether he's in yoga, bhoga, whatever. He only revels. He doesn't run after anything in the world. In Aranya Kanda of Ramayana, there's a great devotee of Bhagavan Sri Ram whose name was Sutikshana. And he heard that Sri Ram was coming. And he was always reveling in the Lord, but he heard that the Lord was coming. So he came out from his little kutir to go and meet the Lord. But he was reveling so much that he walked 5 footsteps this way to meet the Lord. Then he walked about 10 the other way. And he was walking in all directions, and he went down on the ground and he was rolling in the sand. Because he was reveling so much that really there was nothing to go and meet, nothing, nowhere to go. So he was reveling. He did eventually meet the Lord. But he demonstrates that one who has realized himself, he revels in whichever condition he is in. He doesn't run after anything. Because why would I run after something over there when the same thing which is there is here? That is called knowledge. When that person gets that knowledge, all sense organs become quiet. There is no running after anything in this world. Tajnyanam prachamakaram yadindriyana. Tajnyayam yad upani. Now, this knowledge is the knowledge which is established by the Upanishads. And that is the knowledge which I should be seeking. Tajnyayam. Nyayam means that which ought to be known. So, that is the only thing which is worth knowing. You just see any other knowledge in this world. Look, after we get the BA, Then they start thinking, maybe I should go for Emmy. Then after we get Emmy, again we start thinking, maybe I should go for PhD. After we get PhD, I become perhaps a lecturer. Then I am thinking, maybe I should become a professor. Because lecturer is a still junior position. He becomes professor or associate professor, then professor. Then, in his field, there are so many people doing the same thing. Then he has to go for some specialization. And we go on and on like that. So what we end up doing is we end up knowing more and more about less and less. Because we take one subject matter. Little something and study that only. And by the time all that is over, I realize life is also over. Then I think, you know, after I finished law school, or during law school, when I saw how much of effort they have put into categorizing all of these cases and annotations and so many things. If you see the amount of work that human civilization has put, I'm just talking about one field. In that one field with all of these cases of all courts all over the world, so many judgments and millions have been given, and how they have gone through, and sometimes this one judgment is 200 pages. And they have looked at every little detail of, when I saw that in law school, I thought if human civilization had put this same effort in moksha, everybody would have been liberated. And this is just one field. So as a civilization, we have put so much effort in so many things. And every day you go and see how much effort we have. They're drilling for that oil in Gulf. How many thousands of feet below? How much of resources and how? And civilization goes on and on and on. We want to know about every little secret in the world. And when I come to know one thing, what it makes me realize is that, I mean, every revelation of knowledge makes me realize how much more I don't know. So many man hours, woman hours also, human hours, have been used for so many millennia on things which are really not worth knowing. You see, if I am a human being, first human being to come on the earth, and I don't know what ought to be eaten, and I start feeling hungry, I will just walk there, see some nice looking fruits, something looks colorful. I'll taste it. If it tastes well, I eat. If it doesn't taste good, I throw it out. That is all I require for my survival, isn't it? But you know, one being doesn't stop there. So he develops it. There's some animal is running there. Maybe I should taste that also, you know. And then he catches the animal, tastes it. Doesn't taste so well. But maybe then somehow by some mysterious way he develops fire. Then cooks this thing. It tastes. And he develops a taste for it. Remember, anything like that you taste for the first time, it will not be good. It's acquired taste. But he acquires a taste for anything. And he goes on and on, and he gets to know about all things in the world. But the essential thing, see, all these things now bind him, and the thing which ought to be known, that is hidden away from him. In the state of nature, actually, it is easier to know the self. But as we get caught up with all the millions of things, self gets hidden, and nobody ever pays attention to it. But it is the self which ought to be known. Taj Nyeyam. And that self is established by the Upanishads. Second idea in that line. And this is why we should be studying Upanishads. This is why Chinmay Mission is so wonderful. And there are some people who do not even acknowledge the Upanishads. But you belong to a most wonderful mission that our Gurudev established. And he came to the world and roared the Upanishads to humanity. Such ideas that is unsurpassed in the history of human thought. Those ideas are to be found in the Upanishads. Ideas which will take us clean out of the samsara into the realm of pure being, pure isness. Those ideas are established in the Upanishads systematically. Of course, where you see that it seems to be confusing and all that, the guru brings systematization to that thing. So what is there? This morning we were telling in meditation also, if you go from the gross to the more subtle, to the most subtle, in stages, you study it, you practice it slowly, then you get established in that knowledge, which is so well established in the Upanishads. So that is what has to be studied. And the person who does this and comes to be established in the pure self, te dhanya bhuvi, on this earth, those people are called as dhanya paramar nishchitaha. Iha, those who have established this themselves in the self, they are dhanya. If we are engaged in any other thing in this world, we are merely engaged in all delusion. What is delusion? It will come now in this next verse. See, the person who gets caught up in this samsara with all its fascinations and all its ropes, asha pasha, badhaihi. See, adau vijitya vishayan madamoha raga. Dveshadishatru gunama gunama hrita yoga rajya. Nyatva matam samanubhuya paramatma vidya. Kanta sukham vanagrihe vicharanti dhanyaha. Adau vijitya. In the beginning, so the person now who wants to reach that state of pure blessedness, who wants to reach that state of pure enlightenment, who wants to realize himself, that person, adau, in the beginning, vijitya, having conquered what? Vishayan. Vishayan means all worldly objects. Then conquer also mada. Mada means arrogance, intoxication, like that. Moha, delusion. Raga dvesha adi, likes and dislikes, who are all shatru, enemies. Shatrugana. Shatrugana means all the group of enemies. Ganam ahritya yoga rajya. Ahritya means having conquered the kingdom of yoga. Having conquered the kingdom of yoga. Or kingdom of yoga and all we'll see just now. Nyatva matam, having known the truth, the reality. Samanubhuya, and experience that reality, having come to know and experience that reality, paramatma vidya, which is the supreme knowledge. What that person does? Kanta sukham, having sukha as his wife, having sukha as his wife, happiness as his wife, vanagrihe, making the forest his home, vicharanti. He roams. He is dhanya. He roams the forest. So, for all those people who are married, don't get frightened. We will come just now to that. So Adau, Vijitya, having conquered first, Vishayan. If that is read wrongly, it could be taken as, oh, first I have to acquire all worldly possession, having conquered all objects. It means to say, not, you know, I have, that is like, you know, in the old days, the kings used to go and conquer that whole kingdom, conquer another kingdom and go on amassing kingdoms. So that is not the meaning, conquering all worldly objects. It means having mastered the mind such that worldly objects do not bind me. Having developed a healthy relationship with all worldly objects such that I am not tied by them. Otherwise, if you look at your life, you will see how easy it is to be tied by some worldly object. See, right now you are sitting in a chair, right? Or on that spot you are sitting on the floor. Okay. Suppose you get up and you go to the kitchen, to the dining hall, to get a drink of water. And you come back and somebody is sitting on that chair. Or in that same spot. Then what you say? Hey, you took my place. This place belongs to National Park. Isn't it? But quickly, within 1 minute of sitting there, somehow we feel, you see, that place has caught us. Nah? How fast it happens? Your name tag, if somebody takes it, you see your house. There'll be so many things in that house, you know, things that you haven't used for 5 years or 10 years, but still, you know, when you have to give it away, you still think, no, you know, someday I may use this thing, and you keep it there. That means to say that the thing has actually caught us. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, at one place, he is giving a story of a man who held on to a pillar. No, some devotee came and he was telling Swamiji, telling Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Swamiji, I'm so tied by all of these worldly objects. These worldly objects are so strong, you know, they tie us so well. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa went and held on to this pillar and he started screaming, please leave me, leave me. He was telling the pillar, leave me. So the devotee said, what are you telling pillar? You are holding the pillar. Huh? Then Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, see, the very same way you are saying you are bound by this, bound by that, actually it is your own mind which is causing that bondage. We have to, yeah, let go like that. We are actually holding on. So, all the objects which we think, you know, they have caught us, and we are so bound by them, it is really inside. So, to be able mentally to give up all of these objects. So, it is there how Mahatma Gandhiji used to say that, really speaking, all of the things in the world, they are only there in our trust for some time. They will all go someday. And if they don't go, I will go. Some going will take place. Because that is the nature of the world. Vishaya, conquering all these worldly objects. Don't let the worldly objects take the life over. Mother, conquering. In the beginning, mother. Mother means intoxication or arrogance. This is a most wonderful word. Tulsidasji, so many places in his Ramayana, I cannot even count how many places he has mentioned this word. In Bhagavad Gita also, the same word has come so many times. I'll tell you what this word is. Think, huh? See, when we were children, we used to play marbles. Marbles, you know? Nowadays, children don't know marbles. We used to play marbles. So, they used to sell this little marble in the shops. So, we used to buy those. But some kid in the block, he had gone to the town and he had bought a big marble, 3 times the size of our marble. So, when we that big marble, when he hits this little marble, it goes into the bushes also. So when that kid used to come with that marble, big marble, he used to be like the grand poobah, you know, that because he's the boss. So he gets his boss hood from a marble. Now, where really is the boss hood? Not in him. It is in the marble. But human beings are such that we can take from any object in the world, take something and put it inside and then feel. That is called mother. And we can do that with countless things, whether it is a physical, means tangible marble, or something intangible also. For example, after I study in Banaras, then I go on studying and I become Shastri. So when that Shastri name comes, and somebody calls Shastri Ji, oh. Mother. Yes, I become intoxicated with that. Yeah, I like to hear it. Or if somebody writes it, you know, I see my name there. Shastri Ji. So that mother word is something which infects human beings very fast, quickly with anything. So, having conquered, we just have to realize, look, that is one more thing that is there in the world. Let me let it go. And there are so many people who have come before me and they've had it. I should use it for the benefit of humanity. So I have this Shastri degree or whatever. It should be used for the benefit of humanity. If it is not, it will always remain as mother. It will always be there to intoxicate me. So that is the way to get rid of mother. Whichever possession or acquisition I have from this world, that should be used for the benefit of humanity. Mother Moha. Moha. Very, very wonderful word. In Hindi and some of the other regional languages and all, Moha usually means, you know, I am infatuated by this thing or that thing. But in Sanskrit, this moha word means to see something and think otherwise than what it is. I'll give you an example. So there's a rope there, you see? Nay, this delusion. Yes. Or something is in this way, but you think some other way. So the man is actually a good man, but you think he is that. So, to think anything which is other than the fact, that is called as moha. You see? Well-dressed gentleman is sitting in the bus, coated, booted and suited and everything. And a hippie walks into the bus. And the hippie is wearing one shoe. So he sits right next to this well-dressed gentleman. So this gentleman looks at his hippie. He said, "It seems to me, my dear man, that you have lost a shoe." He said, "No, man, I found a shoe." He was walking somewhere. See, the idea is he found one, but he's thinking that he last one. That's opposite thinking, isn't it? Whenever we think opposite like that, that is called caused by moha. Means there's absence of knowledge of the truth. And where there's an absence of knowledge of the truth, that vacuum is quickly filled by some wrong notion. That thing is called as moha or delusion. So we have so much. You see, we are not taught to see our delusions. No education system is designed to teach us to see our delusions. the education system. And also nature is very good at tricking us. Like, for example, the sun rises in the east, right? So nature is so structured as to think, make us think that, look, I am stationary and sun is rising. That's delusion or not? Really, I am not stationary and sun is not rising. It is the other way around. So nature by itself is so structured as to keep us in permanent delusion. I mean, so many things in nature. Even what is the size of the moon? By nature, even just by looking, I think the moon is that size, isn't it? But we know that the moon is not that size. So naturally, I come with so many delusions. Then human society is so ingenious that we develop a million more. In other words, we perpetuate all the delusions and we sink ourselves deeper, like quicksand. We go deeper and deeper into delusions. So it's amazing. Like, for example, what is the best drink that we can drink? Water. Isn't it? The best thing that you can drink is water. But what does humanity do? Oh. We have a line of things. And we think, you know, if there's some big party or something, and all your friends come to your house, there's a big party. Who will give water to them? If you give water, see, both on the side of the giver, you think, how can I give water to my friends? Then those who receive also, they gave me water. Both sides. But the best thing for drinking is water. The human beings always think otherwise. That is why human beings are not wise, they are otherwise. So, whatever is the fact, and when we veer away from that and think something else, that is called as moha, delusion, raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes. Oh, there is no end to these likes and dislikes. And they are the root of all things. That is why, you know, you should learn. The best place to start to get rid of this raga, dvesha, I tell you, is food. Our raga dvesha starts right there with food. I like this. I don't like that. I like this thing. This, you see, even if we like something, we like it in a particular way. So I don't like coffee. I like tea. So there's a dislike for coffee and like for tea. It's a tea kid. I like tea. But with tea now, I like tea like this. That should be, you know, with one sugar, two sugar, some people no sugar. Then it must have some masala in there. Then, you know, then it should be Tetley tea, not Lipton tea. Our likes become so specific and specialized. We go on and read it. That will get better and better. And, you know, we refine our likes to such degree, then it should not be too warm, too hot. That creamer also, different types. How specialized our likes become. And we go on refining them and fine-tuning them. And we spend our whole life doing that only. Just for one thing. Then we do that with every other thing. So likes and dislikes take over our lives. So if you can start with this food. I learned this thing from my father as a child. My father, if my mother forgot to put salt in that food, poor fellow, he used to sit there and eat that food. No salt also. When he's finished, then he'll say, this food had no salt. So from him, I learned, I can also do that very easily, no problem. But if we don't start with that food, his likes and dislikes, we'll never be able to conquer. Nobody has died from saltless food in the past. One man was saying, why should I run the risk of being the first? Start there. You'll be able to conquer all likes and dislikes. It means to say, some people say, no. So what are you teaching? I should not have like for this thing or dislike for that. We are saying that, no, you have your likes and dislikes. But if you do not get the thing which you like, don't be disturbed for the rest of your life. You will remember that thing. Oh, I went there and they gave me this thing which I do not like. And you know one more thing about this world. Bhagwan also has made his world so nicely, you know. That thing which you do not like, that only you will get. Isn't it? So take a hint. That is why we talk about having titiksha. That thing which you do not like, that will come. So have forbearance. Be able to bear that. So I don't like it. What to do? And remain calm. Master your likes and dislikes. Dvesha adi shatrugana. Shatruganam. They are all enemies, it is called. There are so many are given here, right? That raga dvesha adi. So many in that adi. Adi means etc. So many of them are given. Kam, krodh, madh, lobh, ityadi. Like that. A whole string of them. Shat vikar. Tulsidashi calls it in Aranyakand at the end. Shat vikar. Kam, krodh, madh, lobh, moha, matsara. Matsara means, and it will come in the Tulsi Ramayana later when we see. Nyatva matam samanubhuya. Knowing the truth and experiencing the truth, reality. Both of them have to be there. Not just, I should know. All of us know the truth. Isn't it? We hear it so many times in Vedanta. We have heard Upanishads. We have heard that the truth is, my nature is Satchit Anand Ishwara Amsa Jiva Avinashi Chetana Amala Sahaja Sukarashi. We have heard so many times, my nature is pure consciousness, pure bliss. Knowing that truth, but also experiencing the truth, knowing something. See, I know that I have food in my bag. But my stomach is hungry. Food being in the bag will be of no use. I have to eat that. So, sitting in meditation, coming to realize my true nature. Atma Vidya, that I call as Atma Vidya. That person who goes through this process and comes to know himself, then Kanta Sukham, his spouse. Kanta here should be taken as spouse. His spouse becomes what? Sukham, happiness. That knowledge of self, which results in pure bliss. Vanagrahe, he roams the forest of this world. He roams the world, which is like a forest. This world is really like a forest, and all wild animals are there. All everything is there in this world. Vicharan Dithanyaha, that most fortunate person, that most blessed person, he roams, only reveling in this bliss. Nandati, nandati, nandativa. That person is called as Dhanya. Now, those ragaadi, raga dveshaadi, whatever we experience as obstacles we face, there are subtle ones also connected with those. Raga and dvesha, or likes and dislikes, or madha, moha, all of these, they are easier to see, you know. There are some of them which are even more difficult to see. In the next verse also, he continues to tell some of these obstacles which we have to face in order to reach our goal. See now, number 3. Tyaktva grihe ratimadho gatihe tu bhutam. Atmechayopanishada dartharasam vibandaha. Vitaspriha Vishaya Bhoga Pade Viraktaha. Dhanyascharanti Vijaneshu Virakta Sangaha. Dhanyascharanti Vijaneshu Virakta Sangaha. Tyaktva grihe ratim. Tyaktva grihe ratim. Adogati hetu bhutam. Having dropped that grihe ratim means, you know, it is speaking about the human tendency to revel in home, family, possessions, things that surround me. So having dropped that tendency to revel in those things, which are adogati hetu bhuta. Adogati hetu bhuta means which is the cause for my downfall. Adogati means to fall down. So having dropped that tendency to revel in those worldly, homely things, which is the cause for my downfall, atma ichchaya upanishada artharasam pibant, and drinking of the nectar of the self, which is established in the Upanishads, drinking of that nectar, vita spriha, having given up spriha, gone beyond spriha, vishaya bhoga pade viraktaha, and becoming detached from all enjoyments of worldly object, vishaya, dhanyaha charanti vijaneshu, that most fortunate one, blessed one, staying all by himself away from crowds and people, virakta sangaha, and being free from all attachments, he roams freely in this world. He may roam among people, but he is free from all ties and all attachments and all such things. He is called as dhanya, that person who is most blessed. Now, there are so many wonderful ideas in this verse also. One by one, we'll see them. But now we'll have to see them tomorrow morning. Because time has gone away. I'm always wary about this statement also. Time has gone away, or we have gone away. Time is always there, I think, isn't it? That is why we were telling just now. The illusion is such. One thing is happening, but I think something else is happening. We are going, but we think time is going. But anyway, we'll see tomorrow morning. All right. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Now my next class with you will be at 10 to 11, Ramayana, Sundarkand. Okay.